psychokinesis and the brain. If psychokinesis does not easily conform to the known forces of the universe, then how might it be harnessed in the future? One clue to this was revealed in the Star Trek episode entitled "Who Mourns for Adonis?", in which the crew of the Enterprise encounters a race of beings resembling Greek gods, with the ability to perform fantastic feats by simply thinking of them. At first, it appears as if the crew has indeed met the gods from Olympus. Eventually, however, the crew realizes that these are not gods at all, but ordinary beings who can mentally control a central power station, which then carries out their wishes and performs these miraculous feats. By destroying their central power source, the crew of the Enterprise manages to break free of their power. Similarly, it is well within the laws of physics for a person in the future to be trained to mentally manipulate an electronic sensing device that would give him godlike powers. Radio-enhanced or computer-enhanced psychokinesis is a real possibility. For example, the EEG could be used as a primitive psychokinesis device. When people look at their own EEG brain patterns on a screen, eventually they learn how to crudely but consciously control the brain patterns that they see by a process called biofeedback. Since there is no detailed blueprint of the brain to tell us which neuron controls which muscle, the patient would need to actively participate in learning how to control these new patterns via the computer. Eventually, individuals could, on demand, produce certain types of wave patterns on the screen. The image from the screen could be sent to a computer programmed to recognize these specific wave patterns and then execute a precise command, such as turning on a power switch or activating a motor. In other words, a person could, by simply thinking, create a specific brain pattern on the EEG screen and trigger a computer or motor. In this way, for example, a totally paralyzed person could control his or her wheelchair simply by the force of his or her thoughts. Or, if a person could produce 26 recognizable patterns on the screen, he might be able to type by simply thinking. Of course, this would still be a crude method of transmitting one's thoughts. It takes a considerable amount of time to train people to manipulate their own brain waves via biofeedback. Typing by thinking has come closer to reality with the work of Niels Birbaumer of the University of Tübingen in Germany. He has used biofeedback to help people who have been partially paralyzed due to nerve damage. By training them to vary their brain waves, he has been able to teach them to type simple sentences on a computer screen. Monkeys have had electrodes implanted into their brains and have been taught by biofeedback to control some of their thoughts. These monkeys were then able to control a robot arm via the internet by pure thought alone. A more precise set of experiments was performed at Emory University in Atlanta, where a glass bead was embedded directly into the brain of a stroke victim who was paralyzed. The glass bead was connected to a wire that in turn was connected to a PC. By thinking certain thoughts, the stroke victim was able to send signals down the wire and move the cursor on a PC screen. With practice, using biofeedback, the stroke victim was able to consciously control the movement of the cursor. In principle, the cursor on the screen could be used to write down thoughts, activate machines, drive virtual cars, play video games, and so on. John Donahue, a neuroscientist at Brown University, has made perhaps the most significant breakthroughs in the mind-machine interface. He has devised an apparatus called BrainGate that enables a paralyzed person to perform a remarkable series of physical activities using only the power of his mind. Donahue has tested the device on 4 patients. 2 of them suffered from spinal cord injury, a third had a stroke, and a fourth was paralyzed with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, the same disease that afflicts cosmologist Stephen Hawking. One of Donahue's patients, 25-year-old Matthew Nagel, a quadriplegic permanently paralyzed from the neck down, took only a day to learn entirely new computerized skills. He can now change the channels on his TV, adjust the volume, open and close a prosthetic hand, draw a crude circle, move a computer cursor, play a video game, and even read email. He created quite a media sensation in the scientific community when he appeared on the cover of Nature magazine in the summer of 2006. The heart of Donahue's BrainGate is a tiny silicon chip just 4 millimeters wide, that contains 100 tiny electrodes. The chip is placed directly on top of the part of the brain where motor activity is coordinated. The chip penetrates halfway into the brain's cortex, which is about 2 millimeters thick. Gold wires carry the signals from the silicon chip to an amplifier about the size of a cigar box. The signals are then sent into a computer about the size of a dishwasher. Signals are processed by special computer software, which can recognize some of the patterns created by the brain and translate them into mechanical motions. In the previous experiments with patients reading their own EEG waves, the process of using biofeedback was slow and tedious. But with a computer assisting a patient to identify specific thought patterns, the training process is cut down considerably. In his first training session, Nagel was told to visualize moving his arm and hand to the right and to the left, flexing his wrist, and then opening and closing his fist. Donahue was elated when he could actually see different neurons firing when Nagel imagined moving his arms and fingers. To me, it was just incredible, because you could see brain cells changing their activity. Then I knew that everything could go forward, that the technology would actually work, he recalled. Donahue has a personal reason for his passion for this exotic form of mind-machine interface. As a child, he was confined to a wheelchair because of a painful degenerative disease, so he felt firsthand the helplessness of losing his mobility. Donahue has ambitious plans to make BrainGate an essential tool for the medical profession. With advances in computer technology, his apparatus, now the size of a dishwasher, may eventually become portable, perhaps even wearable on one's clothes. And the clumsy wires may be dispensed with if the chip can be made wireless, so the implant can seamlessly communicate to the outside world. It is only a matter of time before other parts of the brain can be activated in this way. Scientists have already mapped out the surface of the top of the brain. If one graphically draws illustrations of our hands, legs, head, and back onto the top of our head, representing where these neurons are connected in general, we find something called the homunculus, or little man. The image of our body parts, written over our brain, resembles a distorted man, with elongated fingers, face, and tongue, and shrunken trunk and back. It should be possible to place silicon chips at different parts of the surface of the brain so that different organs and appendages can be activated by the power of pure thought. In this fashion, any physical activity that can be performed by the human body can be duplicated via this method. In the future, one could imagine a paralyzed person living in a special psychokinetically designed home, able to control the air conditioning, TV, and all the electrical appliances by the power of sheer thought. In time, one could envision a person's body encased in a special exoskeleton, allowing a paralyzed person total freedom of mobility. Such an exoskeleton could, in principle, even give someone powers beyond those of a normal person, making him into a bionic being who can control the enormous mechanical power of his superlimbs by thought alone. So the problem of controlling a computer via one's mind is no longer impossible. But does that mean that we might one day be able to move objects, to levitate them, and manipulate them in midair by pure thought? One possibility would be to coat our walls with a room temperature superconductor, assuming that such a device could be created one day. Then if we were to place tiny electromagnets inside of our household objects, we could make them levitate off the floor via the Meissner effect, as we saw in Chapter 1. If these electromagnets were controlled by a computer, and this computer were wired to our brain, then we could make objects float at will. By thinking certain thoughts, we could activate the computer, which would then switch on the various electromagnets, causing them to levitate. To an outside observer, it would appear to be magic, the ability to move and levitate objects at will.